Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. Today we're going to share something else that's important in understanding the work of Jesus Christ in the marvelous plan of redemption, and that involves coming into the priesthood. This is an important subject because under the Old Testament, the priesthood was after the order of Aaron, but the priesthood now has been changed in the New Testament. Also, Jesus was not of the tribe of Levi, and that was the tribe from which the priesthood came. He was of the tribe of Judah. So how did Jesus come into being a priest, and how do we become a priest ourselves? In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, when we see John the Baptist coming, it's prophesying of what he was going to do. It says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." What was he doing? He was announcing that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And what did it do? It drew all the people from Jerusalem. All the people came, and they came to be baptized. They were repenting and confessing their sins, and they were being prepared for the way of the Lord. Now, at that time, the Jews sent the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem to John, and they asked him some questions. They wanted to know, "Who are you?" And he said that he wasn't the Christ. And they said, "Are you Elias?" Or he said, "Are you that prophet?" And he said, "No." And they said, "Who are you that we may give an answer to them that sent us? And what sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord," as said the prophet Isaiah. And then they said, "Why baptizest thou, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John said, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is, whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." Now the priests and the Levites asked John who he was, and of course he said he wasn't the Christ. They asked him why he was baptizing if he wasn't the Christ, and he said that he was baptized with water unto repentance, but that Christ would come that was among them whom they didn't know. Now what was going on? One of the questions that you must look at is, why were the people from Jerusalem, Judea, and the region round about, why were they willingly coming to the wilderness to be baptized by John, except the priests and the Levites who were already in the priesthood? Why didn't anyone come to John and say, "What are you doing here?" The answer is, they already knew what he was doing. How'd they know that? Because there was a prophecy given in Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6, which says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and the holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Here, Moses was prophesying to the people what God had said to him. It is said that if they'd obey his voice and keep his covenant, then all the children of Israel, that was all of them, not just the tribe of Levi, would be a peculiar treasure, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Well, when would this prophecy come to pass? It would come at the time of the coming of the kingdom. And what was John the Baptist declaring? He was declaring the kingdom of heaven was at hand. That meant because the kingdom was coming, that meant Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6, prophecy was about to come to pass. Meaning, when the kingdom would come, all the children of Israel would become priests, and they come into the priesthood. Now, this, of course, is the reason why all the people came to John except the priests and the Levites. They were already in the priesthood, and they later came and asked him questions. This was the time for all the children of Israel to come in the priesthood, not those of the tribe of Levi. Well, why then was John baptizing with water? And why did all the people come willingly to be baptized? It's because of the steps set forth in the Word of God for ordination into the priesthood. They already knew that washing was the first step for ordination into the priesthood. They came to follow the scriptural procedures from the Word of God so they could enter into the priesthood. There were three primary steps for ordination and consecration into the priesthood. This is shown forth in Leviticus chapter 8. beginning with verse 1, where the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bullock for the sin offering, and the two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather all the congregation together into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." And in verse 5, Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done." And in verse 6, Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. Then in verse 10, he took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. Then in verse 12, he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. Then in verse 22, he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration. Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram. They slew it, and Moses took of the blood of it and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put of the blood upon the tip of the right ear, and upon the thumbs of the right hand, and upon the great toes of their right feet. In verse 30, they took of the anointing oil, the blood upon the altar, sprinkled it upon Aaron, upon his garments, upon his sons' garments with him, and sanctified Aaron and his garments, and his sons' garments with him. What were they doing? These are the three essential steps for Aaron and his sons to be ordained and consecrated into the priesthood. The first step, they were washed with water. The second step was the anointing oil poured upon their head to sanctify them. And the third step was the blood from the ram of consecration put on the tip of Aaron and his sons' right ears, the thumbs of their right hands, and the great toes of their right feet. So what do we see? Moses washed them with water, anointed with oil, put the blood upon them, and these were the three steps to sanctify them to be ordained into the priesthood. What was the first step? Washing with water. So the people, knowing that they were about to become into the priesthood, they came to be washed with water by John the Baptist. John did not just wash them with water. Instead, he baptized them or immersed them in water. And this was prophetically revealing the coming change from the Old Testament washing to the New Testament baptizing as the first step into the New Testament priesthood. Now, this is significant because the priests and the Levites that came to John and asked him who he was, and this was the time for the kingdom to be manifest, that meant all the children of Israel were going to become priests in the kingdom. They knew Christ was going to bring that forth. That's why they wanted to know whether he was the Christ or not who was going to establish the kingdom. Well, they knew that Moses, a type of Christ, ordained Aaron and his sons into the priesthood, and that Christ would ordain all the children of Israel into the priesthood. So John, of course, said he was not the Christ, but the voice of one crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. Here, this baptism was this first step. And what do we see happening after that? Here is when Jesus showed up. John said in John 1, verse 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And this is the one who's going to bring forth a kingdom, and he's also going to bring them all into the priesthood. Now in Matthew 3:11, John said, "I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Remember that John prophetically was revealing the coming change from the Old Testament washing to the New Testament baptizing as the first step into the New Testament priesthood. And here he even says something else. There's another change for ordination in the priesthood, that Christ now would baptize with the Holy Spirit instead of baptizing with water to bring them into the priesthood. So the first step in the New Testament priesthood was revealed as being changed from the Old Testament washing to being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so in verse 13, Jesus comes to John to be baptized of him. And in verse 14, John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And in verse 15, Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And so Jesus came to be baptized of John. Even though John tried to stop him, Jesus said it was necessary to fulfill all righteousness. What righteousness did Jesus need to fulfill? He didn't have any sin or unrighteousness in him. The righteousness he needed to fulfill was the righteousness of the law as commanded by God in Leviticus 8 to ordain Jesus to be the high priest of Israel. Now Jesus was baptized with water in fulfillment of the first step to become the high priest under the old covenant. then what happened immediately after that? In Matthew 3, verse 16, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, when Jesus came up out of the water, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon him. What was the second step for the ordination, the priesthood? It was the anointing with the holy anointing oil. That anointing with the anointing oil, and the oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, he was anointed, fulfilling the second step towards being ordained to be the high priest. Now the third step was the application of the blood that was to be shed from the ram of consecration. The ram of consecration was slain, and the blood was applied to Aaron and his sons. The blood was put on the tip of their right ears, the thumb of their right hands, and the great toe of their right feet. And this is important because we want to look at what happened to Jesus. Now, Jesus was a spotless lamb. He never sinned, remember. But to fulfill all righteousness, he had to, again, go through these steps to be ordained to be the high priest of Israel under the old covenant. So that means the blood had to be applied to Jesus' tip of his right ear, the thumb of his right hand, and the great toe of his right foot. So in the Old Testament, the ram of consecration was slain. Its blood was applied to Aaron and his sons. Jesus was the ram of consecration. His own blood was shed and applied to himself when he went to the cross. His blood was first shed when the crown of thorns was placed upon his head. What would that do? That caused the blood to run down upon the tip of his right ear. Matthew 27, verse 29. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. Then what happened? Then he was taken to be crucified and nailed to the cross. Where were the nails driven? Through his hands and his feet. What would happen? It would cause the blood to run down and be applied to the thumb of the right hand and the great toe of the right foot. Thus Jesus was washed, anointed, and had the blood applied to be ordained as the high priest of Israel in fulfillment of the righteousness of the law. Now remember this prophecy, Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6, for all the children of Israel to become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Well, could this happen under the old covenant? No. Because only one tribe, the tribe of Levi, could be priests under the old covenant. That meant that for all the children of Israel to become priests, there had to be a change in the covenant and a change in the priesthood. Now, the change in the covenant was prophesied by Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31, verse 31, where it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Jeremiah prophesied that God would make a new covenant with the children of Israel. The new covenant would be made between God the Father and the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus brought about the new covenant after he fulfilled the old covenant. Remember, the fulfillment of the old covenant occurred through the cross. He was the spotless Lamb of God, offered on the altar of the cross by Caiaphas the high priest in those days, and his sinless blood was shed as the final sacrifice of the old covenant to fulfill it. Remember, at the Last Supper, Jesus also declared that his blood was the blood of the New Testament. Not only was his blood shed for the remission of sins to fulfill the Old Covenant, but also it was the blood of a new covenant made between God the Father and the man Christ Jesus. So after his resurrection, what did he do? Remember, he took his blood up to heaven, poured it out on the mercy seat in the true tabernacle in heaven, ratifying the new covenant with his blood. So Jesus brought about the change from the old covenant to the new covenant. In making a new covenant, he also brought about other changes. There was a change in the priesthood and also in the order of the high priest. Well, we've run out of time for today. We're going to continue this in the next broadcast. I want to invite you to our church in Phoenix. Services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., Wednesday at 7. For more information, call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.